one's concerns, but I mean, come on, that's it. Let's get on with it. We're all ready. We all know what the score is on this issue. We all know that it's in the board's hands, and that tweaking our report forever and a day is not going to affect the outcome much at this point. It's in the hands of the council. It's in the hands of the board. And let's just get this process finished.
Thanks, Milton. And I had Ross next in the queue. Ross, you're on mute.
Actually, Jordan, Milton kind of sums up nicely around that, so I'll defer.
Okay, so while this is going on, I did take a quick look at the bylaws. I think the relevant section of the bylaws is probably if there's not a supermajority position, which there's not in this case, then there needs to be a clear statement of all the positions espoused by task force members and along with the reasons underlying the position and the constituencies that held that position in the report itself. So I think that there's probably some, and this may go to sort of the type of summary that Milton and Marilyn were talking about essentially, but it probably does make sense to have certainly in the executive summary, some statement that there is this other position that's supported by a number of constituencies, and certainly if they wanted to provide some analysis or reasoning as to why they supported that position, that also seems to be called for in the TPP.
So, Jordan, it's Marilyn. Let me just get clarification on this, because in reading the bylaws, what I see is, without a majority opinion, all of the proposals have to be treated equally in their analysis and in being included in the report.
So I read this. So I probably don't read it quite that broadly, but certainly there's some. It certainly doesn't say that everything needs to be treated equally, but it does say that if there are other positions, they need to be acknowledged in the report, as well as a statement as to why various people support that position.
I have proposed a sentence.
Yeah, go ahead, Milton.
Okay, so again, in the executive summary. Heading summary of the task force policy recommendation, which is proposed 2.1, if there were numbering like that. At the end of the first paragraph, add, other proposals discussed and considered by the task force are in appendices B and C. The special circumstances proposal defended in appendix B was supported by three constituencies who prepared a minority report.
I'm going back to what Jordan read. It's Marilyn. I certainly think that's the appropriate treatment for the submission that I made and that Aubrey and Robin, I think, made, which were, you know, very late submissions and had very limited support. But as I read the bylaws, I believe the lacking of supermajority that both the OPOC and the special circumstances do have to be put forward in the body, and that's what I thought David Ferris was proposing.
That's exactly what I was, ma'am.
And Jordan, it's Maria here.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion, which is that what I had been doing was simply trying to follow what I understood was the accepted practice, but what I can do is more proactively go back to the reports that have been issued over the last few years that have minority reports in them and just give that information to the task force so they know what the precedent is.
Yeah, so I'm a little concerned we're going to end up where Milton doesn't want us to end up, and I don't really want to either, which is needing to come back for another sort of major revision with a significant amount of discussion around it if you go do some research. Let me just look at the report real quick. Listen to this.
Jordan, it's Marilyn. I had looked at the report with the following idea. First of all, there'd be a couple of paragraphs in the executive summary that just gives more of the history, followed by a single paragraph, maybe two, that summarized the OPOC proposal, summarized special circumstances, two sentences saying there were other submissions that they were they received you know, they didn't receive support from other than the parties who submitted them, and they're therefore in an annex. Then going on to the introduction and realizing that in the analysis section that Maria did, she did take the public comments, which she would be required to do, and document those against the proposals that were raised. So really the only significant change that I saw would be in including the summary, which is already done, of the special circumstances proposal and inserting it into the body of the of the document at the appropriate time, and then showing that the showing the vote.
This is Maggie. Can I get in queue, please?
Yeah, you're at the top of it, Maggie, so go ahead.
Okay, I guess I don't quite understand, well, two things, actually. The first is, since the constituencies or the number of constituencies for each report were split, I don't quite see the point of putting the special circumstances proposal in the annex. I understand that as far as voting on this task force goes, there was a slight majority to the OPOP. But again, it strikes me as really odd that we are going to push forward push behind in the back of the report a proposal that was vetted, had, you know, everybody had opportunity to comment on and provide input on, and was fully supported by an equal number of constituencies, and it would not, in fact, taking that section and moving it back into the body and providing the changes that Milton mentioned in the executive summary would not delay us at all. So I really object to the notion of putting it in the annex.
Right. So let me just be clear a little bit about part of the motivation for this is to make the report so it's somewhat more user-friendly. I think we do want to make sure that we're not giving short shrift to the minority position, but I also don't want to end up with a report where a reader of the report who's relatively new to this process sort of reads through it and sort of just ends up confused at the end of the process about what's being recommended. And so I think it does make sense. We do want to make sure that we're calling attention to the fact that there is another proposal that does have support. The bylaws does call for us to do that. So what I'm going to tentatively propose I'm okay moving the special circumstances proposal back into the body, maybe after the task force recommendation section. We could have an alternative recommendation let's see what the language in the bylaws.
Well, this is a minority report, Jordan. It's not an alternative recommendation.
Well,
it's not a between A and B.
So this is why I want to. So Marilyn is correct that the bylaws do call for the alternative position to be included in alternative. I'm going to use the word position, even though I don't necessarily mean the same sort of
proposal.
Yeah. Well, right. In any case, things that other people supported, the bylaws do call to have. To refer to them and explain people's votes on those things as well. It's not if you have a supermajority position in favor of the policy recommendations. It's pretty clear that the minority position is just sort of transmitted as a separate sort of document, sort of saying here's what the minority thinks. We're not happy with this decision. But if there's not a supermajority vote in favor of the recommendations, then the bylaws do call for a somewhat broader explanation of alternative positions. And so that's why I'm proposing that we would include a section that basically says, and this is where I'm trying to get to the language of the bylaws. Alternative position, and then we could include a brief paragraph at the start of that saying, this is another position that was presented. It was not held to be the position of the task force, but it is advocated by the following constituencies. And that would probably help frame the public comments which come after that a little bit more clearly as well.
Jordan, could I comment?
Yeah, go ahead, Milton.
Yeah, I think, again, we're kind of shadow boxing here and not really accomplishing very much. You're talking about the body of the report, not the executive summary, right?
At this point, I am now talking about the body of the report, yes.
Right. So it seems to me if you put something in an appendix and you reference it in the executive summary as an alternative position that you have and you summarize the public comments and you have constituency statements, that anybody who reads the report knows that there was a variety of positions debated. They know what those positions are. They know who supported them. They knew who, you know, the public commenters said about them. And I just don't understand what the issue here is, other than, the minority position trying to somehow present itself as what's, diminish or somehow undermine its status as a minority position.
This is David. Can I jump in?
And I know it's a close vote, and I know that we've been having these close votes for 3 years. And I just think it's time to realize that to the extent that this task force can come up with any kind of a majority position, it's the OPOC proposal, which we don't particularly like, but it's as close as we're going to get to some kind of reform. So let's just, do it. The report is 100 pages long. Okay, the purpose of the executive summary is to give people the gist of what's there, and I think with the amendment I proposed, you pretty much know what the deal is.
Jordan, if I could get in the queue as well, please.
Okay, so I have David first, and then Rob.
Thanks, I'm done.
Thanks, Milton.
Go ahead, David.
Thanks, Jordan. I think, Milton, the fact that you're saying I don't think that we're attempting to create any confusion here, and that's exactly why I said we would need to identify the voting procedures and how the constituencies, how the division among the constituency falls out. If you then explain the voting process, I don't think that there's going to be any confusion about where the votes ultimately lie. But I think, especially given the way the bylaws read, as Jordan just read them to us, it would seem that this should be incorporated in the body of the text, given that there's not a supermajority and that there is there's a significantly lengthy document. And, the fact that this is 100 pages means that people might not go and read what was another considered proposal.
That's it. Thank you, Jordan. Ross?
Yeah, Jordan, I'm looking at the same bylaws here, and I'm completely on a different page on this. The bylaws don't even talk about a minority report. What they're talking about are positions submitted by the constituencies during the comment period. I think we've completely treated those fairly. I think we've also treated all of the proposals very fairly. I think we're wasting our time with this whole discussion.
But I think so, just to be clear, there's two different. So in section 11 of the PDP, there's a thing that talks about minority position, which I think is distinct from section 2 in the report summary, which is what happens if there's not a supermajority position. So I think there's actually a distinction between a minority report and what this calls for here.
I think the point still stands, where I don't believe there's even a requirement for a minority report, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, look in section 11.
I'm not saying get rid of it, and please, even if there is a requirement for a minority report, I'm not saying get rid of it. I think we've treated everything very fairly, and we should probably just move on with this report.
So let me ask Ross and Milton, I guess, if we include the special circumstances proposal as a new Section 6 that's basically alternative recommendation and include a paragraph like I described before that basically says this is an alternative position that did not, that's supported by the following constituencies but was not the majority position of the task force. How does the report suffer as a result?
From my perspective, it's a question of timing, Jordan. I think there's been a lot of positions put forward during this discussion. I think some of those positions were probably more well-founded than the special circumstances proposal and would thus warrant at least equivalent treatment. Some of those positions were compromised out of the picture. I think at this point we've got more of a duty to timeliness than we do of absolute precision around this stuff, and I think that the report does fairly present the wide range of views that we have.
So I'm trying to be timely here as well and make sure that at the end of the call today we have a direction that is going to get us to wrap up our work.
Yeah, well, let me just directly respond to your question.
Yeah, go ahead, Milton.
In the body of the report now, you have a summary of public comments, which has two sections devoted to the special circumstances proposal. In the next section, a summary of task force voting on this report, you can see who voted for which proposal. You have a historical background. You have a staff comparison of the proposals and the minority proposal. And then you have constituency statements in which each of them goes into detail as to their position on the proposals. So, you know, maybe I'm responding to this as an academic in terms of neatness of organization of textual material. It seems to me that you put the proposals that are not the ones we're making in an appendix, and then you have massive discussion of each of these proposals in the report itself. But the idea of putting those proposals that are not the ones we're recommending into the body of the text, to me, sends a confusing message. I agree with Marilyn that the executive summary gives it short shrift, and that I propose an amendment to deal with that. It's one sentence. You can propose to strengthen that one sentence. But other than that, the report is completely thorough, and every proposal, particularly the special circumstances, has lots of airplay in that report. So I just don't understand what's going on here.
Jordan, I'd like to speak when you get to the queue.
So you're at the top of it. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, I'm going to speak in support of what Maggie and David said, and also speak in support of we are trying to provide factual information to the public. And I must say that in the body of the paper, we acknowledge, appropriately so, that the public provided comments on both of these proposals. And to not include the proposal in the body of the report, given that there is not a supermajority, I believe is misleading. And at the same time, I think that the vote will show that there is a narrow margin of preference for one of the proposals over the other.
Thanks, Marilyn. Any other thoughts on this topic, or we got everyone's thoughts at this point? Okay. So lacking anything vaguely approaching a consensus on this particular topic, we have a couple of paths we can take. We can sort of take the suggestion of one faction or the other, which will undoubtedly leave the others unhappy. We can... an alternative is that Maria and I go and consult with the ICANN legal staff to interpret what this bylaw might mean and whether or not it would include, whether or not it requires that we include the entire position or just some summary thereof. Or I guess another path we could go down would be we could perhaps, and maybe this I my reading of the bylaws, Marilyn, is not quite as expansive as yours, although I agree that it probably calls for slightly more than a sentence or two in the executive summary. But maybe an alternative approach is to have a brief synopsis of perhaps a page or so of what the special circumstances proposal does, as well as who supports it and why. I think that's the other important part that the bylaws does call for is an explanation of why it's supported by those who do, and include that as a brief section as opposed to including the whole text. I think I'm somewhat sympathetic to Milton's argument, and which is why we moved the special circumstances proposal to an annex in the first place, which is that the clarity of the report, I think, suffers a little bit by having the various proposals laid out in full within the body. It's a little harder to read, but it's more friendly. But I think perhaps like a page-long summary of the special circumstances proposal, who supports it and why they support it, along with a reference to the end of the document with full text, seems like it might be a reasonable pass between.
So Jordan,
I speak in favor of option number two, where you kind of go away and figure out what you're doing. And I would love to cast my vote in favor of publishing the report, completely deferring to the wisdom on this matter.
So, Jordan, it's Marilyn. It does seem to me that you and Maria should take consultation. I think we would have done that in the past with Louie, so I do think you probably ought to do that. And I would ask David and Maggie, who've spoken on this, what their views are.
Tom, this is Steve. Could I get a clarification from Jordan on his last proposal?
Would the one-page statement that you're talking about go in the executive summary?
No, it would go. So there would be an acknowledgement in the executive summary, as I think both Milton and Marilyn have proposed, to sort of say, you know, there's other positions as well, including this one that was supported by three constituencies. And then there would be a separate sort of one-pager later in the report that says, here's a brief synopsis of the special circumstances proposal, and here's who supports it, and here's why they support it.
I would just suggest that go in the executive summary after the summary of the task force policy recommendation. You could say summary of minority views or something like that. We could provide like the three paragraphs that go in there. While I agree with what Maggie and David have been saying about the placement of the document, I think if you suggest goes in the executive summary, then I'm prepared to say that the reference would be to Appendix B or whatever appendix it is. But I think if you have it in the executive summary, which I think is all that a lot of people are going to read, then I think they will get a sense of what the gist of the proposal is and who supports it, and then they can read the rest of it. In the appendix.
I would strongly object to that. I think it's just creeping, the executive summary is supposed to, the task force is supposed to do work for the council. And if you pass up to it ambiguous and meaningless statements, you're not, we're wasting our time and we're wasting their time.
Well, I don't think it would be ambiguous and meaningless to say that this had a supportive minority, a substantial minority of the task force, and briefly describe what it is. And then
I said that in my sentence. A special circumstances proposal supported by three constituencies who prepared a minority report.
Yeah.
Why do you need to describe a proposal that we're not recommending in the executive summary? I mean, that's outrageous.
Well, then if it's outrageous, I guess you're against it. I guess lawful parrot would hurt you.
But guys, wait a minute here. You don't have a supermajority. You are right about trying to present the facts, but you don't have a supermajority. So I think probably our fallback is to ask Jordan and Maria to consult for interpretation, because we're just in a spin here.
We're not in a spin. We have a very clear outcome. If you want to add a sentence that the OPOC proposal did not have a supermajority, that's factual and that's okay with me. But the idea that you spend time in an executive summary describing a proposal that is not supported by the task force is outrageous. It's just not on.
Okay. Any other comments on this? Okay. Well, so far I'm hearing... I've heard several people saying Maria and I should go off and look at this issue. So we're going to do that. I think in order to not, what I'm going to try to do is to avoid having to come back for another call. So what I'm hoping we're going to be able to do is Maria and I will be able to go off and we'll consult legal staff in order to interpret this element of the bylaws, make an appropriate adjustment to the report based on that advice. And then having done so, We'll recirculate the report for any final comments, and then we'll likely call for a vote on that point, keeping in mind that the bylaws actually don't require in theory, the staff is supposed to do all the work after the public comments. There's not supposed to actually be another council vote, another task force vote on whether or not to go ahead and publish this. So it's not actually required that we convene a call to do that. Any objection to that approach? Okay, that's what we will do then. The next question is, are there any other questions or comments about the report on any other topic? Okay. So that, I guess, is a good segue then to what I anticipate will be the procedure from here on out, which is we've added a new step, which are Marie and I are going to go back. We're going to consult with general counsel to interpret this bylaw or some general counsel or one of his minions. And we will we'll make an adjustment to the report. We'll send the report back out for a quick final review that will probably last a day or two in case we've done something particularly egregious or silly. And then we will call for votes by email. And we'll have a 3-day period, I propose, for people to vote by email. At which point we'll record the vote, and then the final report will be transmitted to the council at that point.
Jordan, I just had a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Are we in the minority supposed to prepare a minority report that would go in here? As it stands now, this appendix, and I recognize this may not remain an appendix, but the appendix just has the proposal that was put forward 6 months ago, and in an initial sentence, there's no discussion of it. So are we supposed to provide that discussion and for insertion into the report?
Yeah. So I think if that discussion, if you wanted to, I think it would be reasonable to add some limited amount
very
of additional
brief
discussion, to this current draft. If you wanted to do something, a lot of extra discussion, I think actually the PDP does call for an ability to essentially transmit a separate report under a separate cover. But if you were, going to add a couple paragraphs introducing the report and saying why you liked it and so on, I think that would be reasonable.
That's what I'd propose to do and to, to circulate to the other constituencies that are supporting this.
I think that's fine, and that's consistent with what the bylaws ask for, which is some explanation of what you liked and why you like it.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, so that will be the procedure going forward then. And the last topic I had proposed then for today was a discussion of any sort of final activities for the task force and winding down. I think my understanding, based on all our previous conversations, is that this report will fulfill all of our terms of reference, and that we will. This should end up being the last call of the task force. We will do all of the rest of our work offline, including the voting. We will transmit a report to the council, and I would expect at that point that this task force will have completed the work required by. Having noted that, I understand there's some ongoing discussion and so on about who is related topics, for example, happening at the Lisbon meeting, and I would guess that the council and GAC and so on who are going to be involved in the discussion might like to have the expertise of former task force members available, certainly to clarify the report and so on. But I wouldn't imagine there would be any more formal activities of this task force. So first I want to make sure everyone, or verify that no one disagrees with me on that point. Good. So this will, in fact, hopefully, unless something terribly strange goes on, will be the last call for the task force. And like I said, there may be I think Glenn had emailed me. There are actually some plans for Who Is related stuff in Lisbon. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, Jordan.
And is that anticipated just to be a council / GAC interaction, or what's the scope of?
I think that's supposed to be council / GAC with the task force, whoever's there, and if possible yourself.
Right. Okay. So I guess there will be some opportunities for emeritus members of the task force to participate in ongoing sort of post report discussion about these topics, but we will have concluded our work at that point, so it would be sort of in the council being glad to have our experience based on the last several years discussing this topic. So I'm concluding then, does anyone have any other, would anyone like to draw my attention to any other work that we need to conclude before sort of disbanding the task force at the conclusion of the sending the report to the council? And if not, I will assume that that's what we're doing. Okay. Well, with that then, I'm out of work for us to do and I'm out of topics for today's call. So I think that means that we are well and truly done talking to one another on these weekly or biweekly or whatever calls. This will be the end of our conference calls, and we may have some further discussion, like I said, in an emeritus capacity, but the report will be wrapped up via email, sent to the council, and we will determine, and we will decidedly agree that the task force has completed its work, although with a slightly, without the supermajority outcome that I had hoped for.
Jordan, it's Maria. Before everyone else joins in, can I say it's been an absolute pleasure working with you as a chair, and your thoughtfulness and persistence and patience have been quite remarkable. So thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Maria. And certainly thank you to everyone on the task force for all your patience and participation. I know that the process has been slow and somewhat painful at times, but I'm pleased that we've actually been able to get to the point of issuing this report and that we will have made it through not only an initial, several initial sets of terms of reference, but the additional terms of reference that the council added to us.
ICANN should issue like those campaign ribbons that that the military issues. So it's like we could sit around and say, just like the old guy saying, I was in NAM, you know, I was at Tien Bien Phu. I could say I was in the Who Is task force for 3 years, man.
That's an excellent idea, Milton. I'm going to see if I can get just such a thing made, and I'll be sure to present it to you next time we meet.
All right.
At the very least, a T-shirt.
That's true. At the very least, a T-shirt.
Jordan, I would certainly second what Maria said, and thank you very much for all your work as chair.
Personally, I think you're insane, Jordan.
These are not inconsistent ideas.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks so much, everyone. For those of you that will be in Lisbon, it sounds like I'll probably be there for a couple days as well, so I'll look forward to seeing you there, but hopefully hearing relatively little of your voices on Monday morning.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thanks,
Jordan.
Everyone.
Jordan, thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Jordan.
Bye.
working here.
You have paused the program. To continue, press 8.
To accomplish today is to take a look at the most recent version of the report that Maria sent out. I'm hoping that this is very nearly the final version of the report. So the main topic I want to discuss is if there's any thoughts or further consideration that we should give about any changes to the structure or the content of the report. Marilyn had, I think, raised maybe back channel a general thought about any minority reports. I think there's the special circumstances reports now sort of included as a minority position. It may be that some further fleshing out of minority position would make sense just to give it some more context. That's certainly something we can talk about as well. And then finally, the other thing I want to talk about today is just to get us all to agree on what the voting process should be. We'll conduct the vote by email, as we previously discussed. And then after that, assuming the first part of the call has gone well, I'd like to have a quick chat about sort of final steps and winding down the task force, because we're essentially at the end of our work at this point. So, anything else anyone would like to discuss on the agenda today? Great. So, first topic then is the report itself. And if anyone's taken a look at it, the main sort of structural change is that we have moved based on on the straw poll we've conducted. I believe that the outcome will be such that the OPOC proposal will be by a bare majority the majority position of the task force. And so that makes the special circumstances proposal the minority position. So the report's been restructured with essentially here's the report, and then that essentially contains the OPOC plus all the sort of procedural work that we've done so far. And then the special circumstance proposal has been moved later in the report as a minority position. Maria has also included the existing analysis that she already had before is a sort of a staff analysis of the two positions to compare, sort of compare some of the differences between the two. That's I think all that text was in the report before. It's just been moved around by and large. Is that a fair assessment, Maria?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And then the executive summary has been added and fleshed out since the last time we've had a substantive conversation about the report. So those are the changes as I see them, but I guess I'm glad if people have questions for Maria about the structure or comments or anything like that, this would be the time to raise them now.
Jordan, it's Marilyn. I'd like to speak about the executive summary.
Sure. Anyone else want to be in the queue?
Yeah, I just had a quick question about actually one thing on page 5.
Okay. Marilyn and Ralph.
And this is David. Can I get your feedback?
Okay, go ahead, Marilyn.
I'm going to defer to David on other comments from the BC. My comment specifically addresses the fact that the executive summary actually is not, as I read it, an executive summary of the report. It is a summary of what is perceived to be as the task force recommendation to the GNSO Council. And I'm not suggesting that that's not a useful few paragraphs to be used at some place, but an executive summary of the report is actually needs to be more about an executive summary of the full report, not just what the recommendation is, because it's not an executive summary of the recommendation. And so I think that, come on, I think that may have been just a little bit confusing maybe when the discussion was undertaken that we need an executive summary. So I'll just give an example. Normally, I think we would be numbering this as 2, executive summary, and then numbering the heading. So I'll assume this is the heading is 2.1, it starts with this is the final draft task force report, and then 2.2 would be summary of the task force policy recommendation. The task force policy recommendation, I believe, is one element of an executive summary. But an executive summary would need to say the task force considered 2 complete proposals with two smaller contributions from individuals. Discussion took place. We held we had public comments. They're summarized here, and it would just be an actual overview of the entire report. That's typically what an executive summary does, and I kind of think we're not quite, that's not quite what this does. I'll leave further comments from the BC perspective to David Ferris.
Thanks, Marilyn. I think you're probably right that some more of the sort of procedural and other inputs to the report probably makes sense to include in the executive summary as well. Well, it may actually make sense that in keeping the executive summary relatively concise, probably have another page, 2 or 3 pages probably all right, but if it grows much beyond that, we may have to actually cut back on some of the existing. Well, but it does make sense, I think, to include some of that. Some summary of
Jordan, before you draw any conclusions like that, I'd like to...
Yeah, I'm glad.
In the queue. I'm
glad to have further discussion on that, yeah. I think Ross was next in the queue, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question. The bullet point in the second set of bullets on page 5 specify that the OPOC should have collected contact for information for the registered name holder. That statement didn't really parse, so I was just wondering what it really says.
I'm Jordan. It's Maria here. I think it should read the OPOC should collect contact information. So I can remove the have there.
Yeah, so I agree. So this is actually sort of a strange comment to include, because I agree that it was a comment that was voiced by several of the commentators. This is sort of a strange comment in that the OPOC doesn't this information is already collected, and the OPOC doesn't change either its collection or display. So it is sort of an odd comment. I think it may not be worth highlighting in the executive. But
it sounds like you want her to delete collect rather than have.
Yeah, well, regardless, it's a strange comment because it comments on something that actually OPOC doesn't affect one way or the other, right? So people say, like, that there are a number of commentators who essentially say, oh, the OPOC should make sure it's important that we have the registered name holder. And,
yeah, to the extent it does have not that in there, it doesn't need to make sense, right?
So
that's a fine answer. That's fine with me.
This is Steve. Could I get in the queue?
Is it on this particular point, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead if it's on this point.
Yeah, I think, while I agree it should make sense and either have or collect should come out, I think it's a relevant comment because the issue was raised that there's nothing in the current proposal that guarantees that the OPOC will even know who the registered name holder is or that it has been designated as the OPOC or that it knows how to reach the registered name holder, and that would kind of defeat the purpose of it. So I think it's a relevant comment.
So you're saying the OPOC as the contact itself should have.
They should have.
Not the proposal, but the...
Should collect. I think probably should have is probably better, but either way, I think it's a relevant comment.
Makes more sense read that way, I think.
Yeah, what really wasn't clear to me on this one, Jordan, was A, what it was saying, but B, who would raise this? Because I hadn't, in both readings of it, I wasn't clear where that actually came out of the public comment process. So if we're going to include it, I'd like to understand that better as well. The other three bullets are great on that subject.
Yep. Maria, do you know where this came from?
Yeah, it was a comment that was raised several times by people during the public comments process. Mostly people who are in favor of the special circumstances proposal, and it is basically just lifted, copy and pasted from the summary of the public comments and later on in the report. So for whatever about the content of it, it's actually survived about three drafts of the report so far.
But this is the one I actually read, Maria.
I'm kidding. Well, so it's probably worth. We don't need to do it right now. It's probably worth just looking at the comments that it came from to see if we can figure out how to phrase it in a way that really reflects the comments.
Sure.
David, you're next in the queue.
Thanks, Jordan. I just wanted to raise a point, noting that we do have the OPOC proposal and the special circumstances proposal, and there's an equal division among the constituencies who generally support one over the other. And which caused me to question whether the minority position should be set out in the annex or if it should follow immediately after the majority position. And so I'd like to propose that we bring it back into the body of the text and can explain just how exactly the division among the constituencies falls and how the voting process would take place.
Yeah, so the way that the PDP actually reads is that let me pull it up to make sure I'm not being crazy, but I believe that the minority report is actually supposed to be like a separate, transmitted under a separate cover entirely, but let's take a look and see whether or not I'm crazy. I think that's actually the case. So I think that the PDP sort of imagines a process where there's a report. And then if there are one or more groups, like constituencies, that are not happy with the contents of the report, then they have the ability to essentially say, well, we don't really like that report, and here's what we're proposing instead. And I think that I think this is a topic we've discussed in the past of making it so we do have a report and a minority report as opposed to the temporary situations that we had going into the preliminary report where it wasn't clear which might be the majority position. Now, I agree that it's sort of a bare distinction based on what's likely to essentially be a single vote. But I think it is consistent with the PDP for there to be sort of a clear report and a separate thing with a minority report, whether that's in an annex or under a separate cover.
Jordan, Marilyn, would you put me back in the queue? at this about this specific point.
Well, if you want to talk to this point.
Sure. I want to go back to the comment I made about the executive summary. David's point about where the second report goes, I'm really deferring to him, but I'm just pointing out that final task force report is supposed to cover to summarize and then put forward a recommendation, but not to ignore the substantive disagreements that have occurred and still exist. And so one thing to be careful about in the executive summary, regardless of where the group ends up putting the other option, is to not give short shrift to the fact that there is significant split. And that's something to be careful about, because as you read the executive summary right now, you actually would only know that there was a second proposal when you get down to summary of public comments. But it doesn't actually say in the executive summary substantive, substantial, I don't know what the word would be here, but substantial disagreement exists, and as a result of that, there is the second proposal, blah, 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 which also receives consideration, is provided here or where, right? So just think about that in relation to the executive summary. But that would also mean that in the body of the report, it's important to note somewhere neutrally the additional work. And if you look at the work that Maria has done, of course, she has analyzed the public comments against both proposals. So it seems to me it's going to be important to make sure that the report is in the information it provides, explains about both proposals, and then you explain the vote.
Yeah, okay, so this is a point that I think that Milton wanted to talk to earlier, and he's next in the queue anyway, so I'm going to thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind forwarding on that.
So then we'll then maybe to Ross.
Thanks.
And then I'm going to try to pull this back to the little bit. Probably sort of bring something consistent with what Marilyn's saying and maybe not quite what David is. But go ahead, Milton.
Okay. Yeah, I think we have to agree with Marilyn that if there is a minority position in the overall report, it needs to be recognized in the executive summary. I think that's a very easy thing to solve, and I've just been banging away here so that I would propose that under the heading Summary of the Task Force Policy Recommendations, at the end of the first paragraph, you simply say other proposals discussed and considered by the task force are in Appendix X and Y, and you may want to note that the special circumstances proposal, sounds so coy, had significant support but was not the majority position. And that does it. And I think I just want to stress the need for moving forward and not getting into some major reorganization of the report. I think it's kind of, again, I'm continually astounded at the slow pace. I mean, I've been ridiculously busy for the last 2 months and have, as you probably know, have missed some of these calls. And whenever I come in after missing some of these calls, I feel like absolutely nothing has happened. And I think that we pretty much have a report here. I mean, this is the report. We all know the politics. We're tweaking. We can delay, have, or collect. I would suggest collect. We can add a sentence to address Marilyn's concerns. But I mean, come on, that's it. Let's get on with it. We're all ready. We all know what the score is. On this issue, we all know that it's in the board's hands and that tweaking our report forever and a day is not going to affect the outcome much at this point. It's in the hands of the council. It's in the hands of the board. And let's just get this process finished.
Thanks, Milton. And I had Ross next in the queue. Ross, you're on mute.
Actually, Jordan, Milton kind of sums up nicely around that, so I'll defer.
Okay, so while this is going on, I did take a quick look at the bylaws. I think the relevant section of the bylaws is probably if there's not a supermajority position, which there's not in this case, then there needs to be a clear statement of all the positions espoused by task force members and along with the reasons underlying the position and the constituencies that held that position in the report itself. So I think that there's probably some, and this may go to sort of the type of summary that Milton and Marilyn were talking about essentially, but it probably does make sense to have, certainly in the executive summary, some statement that there is this other position that's supported by a number of constituencies, and certainly if they wanted to provide some analysis or reasoning as to why they supported that position, that also seems to be called for in the in the PDP.
So, Jordan, it's Marilyn. Let me just get clarification on this, because in reading the bylaws, what I see is without a majority opinion, all of the proposals have to be treated equally in their analysis and in being included in the report.
So I read this, so I probably don't read it quite that broadly, but certainly there's some, it certainly doesn't say that everything needs to be treated equally, but it does say that if there are other positions, they need to be acknowledged in the report as well as a statement as to why various people support that.
I have a proposed sentence.
Go ahead, Milton.
Okay, so again, in the executive summary, heading summary of the task force policy recommendation, which is 2.1, if there were numbering like that. At the end of the first paragraph, add, other proposals discussed and considered by the task force are in appendices B and C. The special circumstances proposal defended in appendix B was supported by three constituencies who prepared a minority report.
I'm going back to what Jordan read. It's Marilyn. I certainly think that's the appropriate treatment for the submission that I made and that Aubrey and Robin, I think, made, which were, very late submissions and had very limited support. But as I read the bylaws, I believe the lacking of supermajority that both the OPOC and the special circumstances do have to be put forward in the body, and that's what I thought David Ferris was proposing.
That's exactly what
I was. Jordan, it's Maria here.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion, which is that what I had been doing was simply trying to follow what I understood was the accepted practice, but what I can do is more proactively go back to the reports that have been issued over the last few years that have minority reports in them and just give that information to the task force so they know what the precedent is.
Yeah, so I'm a little concerned we're going to end up where Milton doesn't want us to end up, and I don't really want to either, which is needing to come back for another sort of major revision with a kind of discussion around it if you go do some research. Let me just look at the report real quick. Listen to this.
Jordan, it's Marilyn. I had looked at the report with the following idea. First of all, there'd be a couple of paragraphs in the executive summary that just gives more of the history, followed by a single paragraph, maybe two, that summarized the OPOC proposal, summarized special circumstances, two sentences saying there were other submissions that they didn't receive support from other than the parties who submitted them, and they're therefore in an annex. Then going on to the introduction and realizing that in the analysis section that Maria did, she did take the public comments, which she would be required to do, and document those against the proposals that were raised. So really the only significant change that I saw would be in including the summary, which is already done, of the special circumstances proposal and inserting it into the body of the of the document at the appropriate time, and then showing the vote.
This is Maggie. Can I get in queue, please?
Yeah, you're at the top of it, Maggie, so go ahead.
Okay, I guess I don't quite understand, two things, actually. The first is, since the constituencies or the number of constituencies for each report were split, I don't quite see the point of putting the special circumstances proposal in the annex. I understand that as far as voting on this task force goes, there was a slight majority to the OPOP. But again, it strikes me as really odd that we are going to push forward push behind in the back of the report a proposal that was vetted, everybody had opportunity to comment on and provide input on, and was fully supported by an equal number of constituencies, and it would not, in fact, taking that section and moving it back into the body and providing the changes that Milton mentioned in the executive summary would not delay us at all. So I really object to the notion of putting it in the annex.
Right. So let me just be clear a little bit about part of the motivation for this is to make the report so it's somewhat more user-friendly. I think we do want to make sure that we're not giving short shrift to the minority position, but I also don't want to end up with a report where a reader of the report who's relatively new to this process sort of reads through it and sort of just ends up confused at the end of the process about what's being recommended. So I think it does make sense. We do want to make sure that we're calling attention to the fact that there is another proposal that does have support. The bylaws does call for us to do that. So what I'm going to tentatively propose I'm okay moving the special circumstances proposal back into the body, maybe after the task force recommendation section. We could have an alternative recommendation let's see what the language in the bylaws is.
Well, this is a minority report, Jordan. It's not an alternative recommendation.
Well,
it's between A and B.
So this is why I want to... So Marilyn is correct that the bylaws do call for the alternative position to be included in... I'm going to use the word position even though I don't necessarily mean the same sort of...
Proposal.
Yeah, well, right. Things that other people supported, the bylaws do call to have... to refer to them and explain people's votes on those things as well. It's not... If you have a supermajority position in favor of the policy recommendations, it's pretty clear that the... minority position is just sort of transmitted as a separate sort of document, sort of saying, here's what the minority thinks. We're not happy with this decision. But if there's not a super majority vote in favor of the recommendation, then the bylaws do call for a somewhat broader explanation of alternative positions. And so that's why I'm proposing that we would include a section that basically says... And this is where I'm trying to get to the language of the bylaws. Alternative position, and then we could include a brief paragraph at the start of that saying, this is another position that was presented. It was not held to be the position of the task force, but it is advocated by the following constituencies. And that would probably help frame the public comments. Which come after that a little bit more clearly as well.
Jordan, could I come in?
Yeah, go ahead, Milton.
Yeah, I think, again, we're kind of shadow boxing here and not really accomplishing very much. You're talking about the body of the report, not the executive summary, right?
At this point, I am now talking about the body of the report.
Right. So it seems to me that if you put something in an appendix and you reference it in the executive summary as an alternative position that you have, and you summarize the public comments and you have constituency statements, that anybody who reads the report knows that there was a variety of positions debated. They know what those positions are. They know who supported them. They knew who, the public commenters said about them. And I just don't understand what the issue here is, other than the minority position trying to somehow present itself as what's diminish or somehow undermine its status as a minority position.
This is David. Can I jump in?
And I know it's a close vote, and I know that we've been having these close votes for 3 years. And I just think it's time to realize that to the extent that this task force can come up with any kind of a majority position, it's the OPOC proposal, which we don't particularly like, but it's as close as we're going to get to some kind of reform. So let's just, do it. The report is 100 pages long. Okay, the purpose of the executive summary is to give people the gist of what's there, and I think with the amendment I proposed, you pretty much know what the deal is.
Jordan, if I could get in the queue as well, please.
Okay, so I have David first, and then...
I'm done.
Thanks, Milton.
Go ahead, David.
Thanks, Jordan. I think, Milton, the fact that you're saying I don't think that we're attempting to create any confusion here, and that's exactly why I said we would need to identify the voting procedures and how the constituencies, how the division among the constituency falls out. If you then explain the voting process, I don't think that there's going to be any confusion about where the votes ultimately lie. But I think, especially given the way the bylaws read, as Jordan just read them to us, it would seem that this should be incorporated in the body of the text, given that there's not a supermajority and that there is there's a significantly lengthy document. And, the fact that this is 100 pages means that people might not go and read what was another considered proposal. So that's it. Thank you, Jordan.
Ross? Yeah, Jordan, I'm looking at the same bylaws here, and I'm completely on a different page on this. The bylaws don't even talk about a minority report. What they're talking about are positions submitted by the constituencies during the comment period. I think we've completely treated those fairly. I think we've also treated all of the proposals very fairly. I think we're wasting our time with this whole discussion.
But I think, Russ, just to be clear, there's two different. So in section 11 of the PDP, there's a thing that talks about minority positions, which I think is distinct from section 2 in the report summary, which is what happens if there's not a supermajority position.
So I think there's actually a distinction between a minority report and what this calls for here. I think the point still stands, where I don't believe there's even a requirement for a minority report, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, look in section 11.
I'm not saying get rid of it, and please, even if there is a requirement for a minority report, I'm not saying get rid of it. I think we've treated everything very fairly, and probably just move forward.
So let me ask Ross and Milton, I guess, if we include the special circumstances proposal as a new Section 6 that's basically alternative recommendation and include a paragraph like I described before that basically says this is an alternative position that did not, that's supported by the following constituencies, but was not the majority position of the task force. How does the report suffer as a result?
From my perspective, it's a question of timing, Jordan. I think there's been a lot of positions put forward during this discussion. I think some of those positions were probably more well-founded than the special circumstances proposal and would thus warrant at least equivalent treatment. Some of those positions were compromised out of the picture. I think at this point, we've got more of a duty to timeliness than we do of absolute precision around this stuff, and I think that the report does fairly present the wide range of views that we have.
So I'm trying to be timely here as well and make sure that at the end of the call today we have a direction that is going to get us to wrap up our work.
Yeah, well, let me just directly respond to your question.
Yeah, go ahead, Milton.
In the body of the report now, you have a summary of public comments, which has two sections devoted to the special circumstances proposal. In the next section, the summary of task force voting on this report, you can see who voted for which proposal. You have a historical background. You have a staff comparison of the proposal and the minority proposal. And then you have constituency statements in which each of them goes into detail as to their position on the proposal. So, you know, maybe I'm responding to this as an academic in terms of neatness of organization of textual material. It seems to me that you put the proposals that are not the ones we're making in an appendix, and then you have massive discussion of each of these proposals in the report itself. But the idea of putting those proposals that are not the ones we're recommending into the body of the text, to me, sends a confusing message. I agree with Marilyn that the executive summary gives it short shrift, and that I propose an amendment to deal with that. It's one sentence. You can propose to strengthen that one sentence. But other than that, the report is completely thorough, and every proposal, particularly the special circumstances, has lots of airplay in that report. So I just don't understand what's going on here.
Jordan, I'd like to speak when you get to the queue.
So you're at the top of it. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, I'm going to speak in support of what Maggie and David said, and also speak in support of, we are trying to provide factual information to the public. And I must say that in the body of the paper, we acknowledge, appropriately so, that the public provided comments on both of these proposals. And to not include the proposal in the body of the report, given that there is not a supermajority, I believe is misleading. And at the same time, I think that the vote will show that there is a narrow margin of preference for one of the proposals over the other.
Thanks, Marilyn. Any other thoughts on this topic, or have we got everyone's thoughts at this point? Okay. So lacking anything vaguely approaching a consensus on this particular topic, we have a couple of paths we can take. We can sort of take the suggestion of one faction or the other, which will undoubtedly leave the others unhappy. We can, an alternative is that Maria and I go and consult with the ICANN legal staff to interpret what this bylaw might mean, and whether or not it would include, whether or not it requires that we include the entire position or just some summary thereof. Or I guess another path we could go down would be we could perhaps, and maybe my reading of the bylaws, Marilyn, is not quite as expansive as yours, although I agree that it probably calls for slightly more than a sentence or two in the executive summary. But maybe an alternative approach is to have a brief synopsis of perhaps a page or so of what the special circumstances proposal does, as well as who supports it and why. I think that's the other important part that the bylaws does call for, is an explanation of why it's supported by those who do. And include that as a brief section, as opposed to including the whole text. I think I'm somewhat sympathetic to Milton's argument, and which is why we moved the special circumstance proposal to an annex in the first place, which is that the clarity of the report, I think, suffers a little bit by having the various proposals laid out in full within the body. It's a little harder to read if it's more friendly. But I think perhaps like a page-long summary of the special circumstance proposal, who supports it and why they support it, along with a reference to the end of the document with full text, seems like it might be a reasonable path between.
So Jordan,
you can favor of option number two, where you kind of go away and figure out what to do. And I would love to cast my vote in favor of publishing the report, completely deferring to the wisdom on this matter.
So, Jordan, it's Marilyn. It does seem to me that you and Maria should take consultation. I think we would have done that in the past with Louis, so I do think you probably ought to do that, and I would ask David and Maggie, who've spoken on this, what their views are.
Steve, could I get a clarification, Jordan, on would the one-page statement you're talking about go in the executive summary?
No, it would go, so there would be an acknowledgement in the executive summary, as I think both Milton and Marilyn have proposed, to sort of say, you know, there's other positions as well, including this one that was supported by three constituencies. And then there would be a separate sort of one-pager later in the report that says, here's a brief synopsis of the special circumstance proposal, and here's who supports it, and here's why they support it.
I would just suggest that go in the executive summary after the summary of the task force policy recommendation. You could say summary of minority views or something like that. We could provide, like, the three paragraphs that go in there. While I agree with what Maggie and David have been saying about the placement of the document, I think if you suggest goes in the executive summary, then I'm prepared to say that the reference would be to Appendix B or whatever appendix it is. But I think if you have it in the executive summary, which I think is all that a lot of people are going to read, then I think they will get a sense of what the gist of the proposal is and who supports it, and then they can read the rest of it in the appendix.
I would strongly object to that. I think it's just creeping, the executive summary is supposed to, the task force is supposed to do work for the council. And if you pass up to it ambiguous and meaningless statements, you're not, we're wasting our time and we're wasting their time.
Well, I don't think it would be ambiguous and meaningless to say that this had a supportive minority, a substantial minority of the task force, and briefly describe what it is. And then
I said that in my sentence. A special circumstances proposal supported by three constituencies who prepared a minority report. Why do you need to describe a proposal that we're not recommending in the executive summary? I mean, that's outrageous.
Well, then if it's outrageous, I guess you're against it. And I guess lawful parrot what you're saying.
But guys, wait a minute here. You don't have a supermajority. You are right about trying to present the facts, but you don't have a supermajority. So I think probably our fallback is to ask Jordan and Maria to consult for interpretation, because we're just in a spin here.
We're not in a spin. We have a very clear outcome. If you want to add a sentence that the OPOC proposal did not have a supermajority, that's factual and that's okay with me. But the idea that you spend time in an executive summary describing a proposal that is not supported by the task force is outrageous. It's just not on.
Okay. Any other comments on this? Okay. Well, so far I've heard several people saying Maria and I should go off and look at this issue. So we're going to do that. I think in order to not, what I'm going to try to do is to avoid having to come back for another call. So what I'm hoping we're going to be able to do is Maria and I will be able to go off and we'll consult again, legal staff in order to interpret this element of the bylaws, make an appropriate adjustment to the report based on that advice. And then, having done so, we'll recirculate the report for any final comments, and then we'll likely call for a vote on that point, keeping in mind that the bylaws actually don't require, in theory, the staff is supposed to do all the work after the public comment. There's not supposed to actually be another council vote, another task force vote on whether or not to go ahead and publish this. So it's not actually required that we convene a call to do that. Any objection to that approach? Okay, that's what we will do then. The next question is, are there any other questions or comments about the report on any other topic? Okay. So that, I guess, is a good segue then to what I anticipate will be the procedure from here on out, which is we've added a new step, which are Marie and I are going to go back. We're going to consult with general counsel to interpret this bylaw, or some general counsel or one of his minions. And we will we'll make an adjustment to the report. We'll send the report back out for a quick final review that will probably last a day or two in case we've done something particularly egregious or silly. And then we will call for votes by email, and we'll have like a we'll have a 3-day period, I propose, to for people to vote by email. At which point we'll record the vote, and then the final report will be transmitted to the council. At that point,
Jordan, I just had a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Are we in the minority supposed to prepare a minority report that would go in here? As it stands now, this appendix, and I recognize this may not remain an appendix, but the appendix just has the proposal that was put forward 6 months ago and in an initial sentence. There's no discussion of it. So are we supposed to provide that discussion and for insertion into the report?
Yeah. So I think if that discussion, if you wanted to, I think it would be reasonable to add some limited amount of additional discussion, to this current draft. If you wanted to do something, a lot of extra discussion, I think actually the PDP does call for an ability to essentially transmit a separate report under a separate cover. Mm-hmm. But if you were, going to add a couple paragraphs introducing the report and saying why you liked it and so on, I think that would be reasonable.
That's what I'd propose to do and to, to circulate to the other constituencies that are supporting this.
Yeah, so I think that's fine and that's consistent with what the bylaws ask for, which is some explanation of what you liked and why you like it.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, so that will be the procedure going forward then. And the last topic I had proposed then for today was a discussion of any sort of final activities for the task force and winding down. I think my understanding, based on all our previous conversations, is that this report will fulfill all of our terms of reference, and that we will, this should end up being the last call of the task force. We will do all of the rest of our work offline, including the voting. We will transmit a report to the council, and I would expect at that point that this task force will have completed the work required by having noted that, I understand there's some ongoing discussion and so on about Liz-related topics, for example, happening at the Lisbon meeting, and I would guess that the council and GAC and so on who are going to be involved in the discussion might like to have the expertise of former task force members available, certainly to clarify the report and so on. But I wouldn't imagine there would be any more formal activities of this task force. So first I want to make sure everyone, or verify that no one disagrees with me on that point. Good. So this will, in fact, hopefully, unless something terribly strange goes on, will be the last call for the task force. And like I said, there may be, I think Glenn had emailed me, there are actually some plans for who is related stuff in Lisbon, is that right?
Yes, that's right, Jordan.
And is that anticipated just to be a council/GAC interaction, or what's the scope of?
I think that's supposed to be council/GAC with the task force, whoever is there. And if possible, yourself.
Right. Okay. So I guess there will be some opportunities for emeritus members of the task force to participate in ongoing sort of post-report discussion about these topics. But we will have concluded our work at that point. So it would be sort of in a the council being glad to have our experience based on the last several years' discussion. discussing this topic. So I'm concluding then, does anyone have any other, would anyone like to draw my attention to any other work that we need to conclude for sort of disbanding the task force at the conclusion of the sending the report to the council? And if not, I will assume that that's what we're doing. Okay. Well, with that then, I'm out of work for us to do and I'm out of topics for today's call. So I think that means that we are well and truly done talking to one another on these weekly or biweekly or whatever calls. This will be the end of our conference calls, and we may have some further discussion, like I said, in an emeritus capacity, but the report will be wrapped up via email sent to the council, and we will determine, and we will decidedly agree that the task force has completed its work, although with a slightly without the supermajority outcome that I had hoped for.
Jordan, it's Maria. Before everyone else joins in, can I say it's been an absolute pleasure working with you as a chair, and your thoughtfulness and persistence and patience have been quite remarkable. So thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Maria. And certainly thank you to everyone on the task force for all your patience and participation. I know that the process has been slow and somewhat painful at times, but I'm pleased that we've actually been able to get to the point of issuing this report and that we will have made it through not only an initial, several initial sets of terms of reference, but the additional terms of reference that the council added to us.
I can should issue like those campaign ribbons that that the military issues. So it's like we could sit around and say, just like the old guy saying, I was in NAM, you know, I was in TNFU. I could say I was in the WHOIS task force for 3 years, man.
That's an excellent idea, Milton. I'm going to see if I can get just such a thing made, and I'll be sure to present it to you next time we meet.
All right.
At the very least, a T-shirt.
That's true. At the very least, a T-shirt.
Jordan, I would certainly second what Maria said. Chair.
Personally, I think you're insane, Jordan.
These are not inconsistent ideas.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks so much, everyone. For those of you that will be in Lisbon, it sounds like I'll probably be there for a couple days as well, so I'll look forward to seeing you there, but hopefully hearing relatively little of your voices on Monday morning.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thanks,
Jordan.
Everyone.
Jordan, thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Jordan.
Bye.
Thank you for calling the Digital Replay Service.